Your pastor normally preaches an expository message where you take a section of Scripture and expose what's in the section. That's known as expository preaching. When one preaches topically, he chooses a topic, takes a verse of Scripture, and just talks about the topic. When one preaches textually, he takes a topic and uses various scriptures in their context to support that topic. This morning, I want to speak to you textually from a textual message on this, what we're calling, very significant day of commitment. I want to talk to you on this also first Sunday of a new calendar year about the subject of a commitment that heaven honors. Whatever you've done in your commitment today, your pastor is appreciative. But you and I both know that we want in all of our life, not pertaining to just what we've done here today, but in all of our life, we want to have a commitment that heaven honors. Our launching verse today is going to be John chapter 12. Would you go there? I'm going to use one verse of Scripture to get our thoughts together. We know that our commitment is the strength of, the quality of, our devotion to that to which we love or believe. In other words, your commitment to your spouse is the strength of how much you are devoted to them. And we want a strong commitment to our spouse. Amen. Boy, men, you better say amen. God gives us little children and we're committed knowing that they can't get up and go fix their bottle and go to the dresser drawer or the chest of drawers and get their diaper. We're committed to taking care of them in their helpless condition. We are committed to them because we love them. Amen. When we think about our relationship to God, we didn't save him. He saved us. We didn't find him. He found us. He didn't need us, but we needed him. We didn't make the initial contact with him. He made the initial contact with us. He took the initiative while we were sinners. Before the worlds were framed, he was planning to send his son for the redemption of a lost human race that he knew that he would both create, would rebel against him, and would ruin his creation. When we think about what God has done for us, and we see the demonstration of his great love by sending his son to a cross, it moves us with gratitude that when we were so out of it, God was very much in the heart of it and was planning to do something for we spiritually who were no less helpless than a newborn baby is helpless to care for himself or herself. We desperately needed God. Our commitment to him should be the strength. It should be the magnitude of the gratitude of our hearts that he has so given himself to us in so very many ways. It's kind of been interesting. In the last couple of weeks, I've had two different people, neither of which from this church, see me or talk with me by phone and say, by the way, I want to ask you something. I was in a restaurant just a few weeks ago, and a guy said, Pastor, I want to ask you. He said, I can't call the guy's name, but he said, you used to have coming to the church a guy, he said he had a brilliant mind and he was in a wheelchair. And I smiled big. I said, you're talking about David Miller. He said, yes. I said, David Miller will be with us in February. And he said, really? And said, is he still preaching? And I said, yeah. And his muscular atrophy continues to get worse and worse and worse. And he just absolutely can't do anything at all for himself. Breathing is all he can do for himself. Barely wiggle that finger enough over here. I believe it's on the left side maybe. And he touches that joystick enough to make that wheelchair move. And when we look at people whose needs are great, and then we look at the stuff that we complain over. We think, oh dear God, I am so sorry that I ever complained about anything compared to others. You have blessed me so much. And it does something to our commitment. Unless we feel like we deserve all of God's blessings, we know that God's blessings far exceed anything that we've ever done toward Him that would cause Him to want to do to us what He's done to us. We know it's His great heart of love that's moved Him to do that. Amen? So this morning, as we think about a commitment that heaven honors, look with me at John chapter 12. And I may be reading in my assessment of people something that's not true, but I believe it's true. Most of the people I've met, not all but most, by far most, who claim the name of God, I really believe, wanted to please God. They wanted to honor God. Now, they ran into more things than we can get into about why they ended up not doing it, but they really wanted to please God. And in this text of John chapter 12, in verse 26, if you will look with me, here is what Jesus said. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Can I tell you just a couple, two or three things I see there? In that verse, he said, first of all, if a man's going to serve me, let him follow me. Tells me that suggests to me that a guy can be involved in the service of God and not necessarily be following him. But he said, if you're going to serve me, you need to follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. Because if you're serious about your service, you'll stay with me. And if any man does serve me, that is, follow me, him, notice, verse 26 says, him will my Father honor. Folks, am I correct when I say this statement? Don't you want to honor God? Don't you want to honor Him with your devotion and your commitment? Well, as I thought about, not just today, it really wasn't as moved by today as I thought about a brand new year. We're about to be able to erase the board if we want to and start in a brand new year with a different year and a different life and maybe a different devotion of our hearts, a little different focus in our lives. Want to go just to maybe a little, some people say go a little deeper with God. Some say I want to go one step higher. I don't know if you call that higher or deeper, however you refer to it. Don't we want 2019 to be more for us spiritually than we were in 2018? I think we would all want to do that. With that stated, use the title of commitment that heaven honors, if we want to honor Him, what is it that we can either be or do that we can be assured God will be very much honored with this? He'll be very well pleased. We can say that this in my life is a commitment. I'm devoted to this. And I can tell you right now, God is honored with this. What are some things we could put in that list? Number one, the first thing I call your attention to is a commitment to the Lord God. That's the most foundational thing I know anything about is a commitment to the Lord God. There's two verses of Scripture, and any time the Scripture can speak, that's better than anything Brother Wayne can speak. And there's two verses of Scripture I want us to look at as we think about having a commitment in the year 2019 above and beyond anything else in our life as a commitment to the Lord God. Notice on your screen Matthew 22, verses 36 through 38. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, unless Jesus was confused, there is something in the Scripture more important than anything else, and that is what Jesus called the first commandment. Why would He have said such a thing? Because if I do, and you just form a whole list of deeds that you can think of. If I do that, but I don't love the Lord my God with all my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind, then whatever else I've done has been empty. It's been vain. It's been without meaning. It's been without purpose. The first thing that should motivate any of us is a commitment to the Lord God. Now, do you think about him when you wake up in the morning? Is he the first thought? Is he the last thought when you lie down at night? Is he the one whose name and whose nature you can't get off your mind while you're serving him day by day by day? Is his leadership something that you long for throughout the day? Do you pray to him and talk to him from your heart about decisions that you make in the course of a day? Do you keep him in the front part of your heart so that when something is immediately occurring that you wasn't planning on, you can just call on him and ask for direction and say, Lord, I need help with this. I may be about to act ugly over something. Lord, don't let me act ugly. I need your leadership. Now, folks, that's part of what it means to love him with all your heart. You're more concerned about what he feels about anything than you are everybody else. There's another verse of Scripture I want you to look at, though, out of John 4. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Has any man brought, the disciples said, has any man brought Jesus anything to eat? And Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now the word meat there is a word that's translated food. So the disciples asked the question, has anybody brought him? He'd been ministering that day, the text tells us, if you read the background of that text. And he no doubt was getting to the place that he would need food or be weary with his work he was doing. And the disciples said, has anybody brought him any food to eat? And here's how he responded. I'll read it to you one more time. My meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, time out on the field. When he speaks like that, it does you and I, it does all good to ask a question. And so we ask the question, what did he mean by my food is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work? What's he talking about? Okay. It would take just one of we Hicks from South Georgia to answer that question. You wouldn't have to go to seminary to answer that question. When you're hungry, you want food, correct? What does food do to you? Huh? It satisfies. It nourishes. And somebody said another word here. It satisfies. It nourishes you. Is there anybody in the room that just, boy, this is terrible sin to confess, but since there's nobody here but us and it's mine, I'll go ahead and confess it. Does anybody in the room have any problem at time and you're not eating because you're hungry, you're just eating because you enjoy it? Nobody else would be guilty of that, would you? Folks, my wife cooked cabbage last night and I ate enough for a horse. She put it in a skillet and poured vinegar over it. And I love vinegar. And she fixed a pone of cornbread. Now, you got to be country to know what a pone is. And so she fixed cornbread, and I just went to town on cornbread and cabbage. And when I got through, I knew I needed some dessert, so I broke up some cornbread in a cup and poured milk over that. So, I mean, I went back to my childhood, and I reveled for a long time in that. And in the midst of all that eating, I didn't eat all of that because I was hungry. I was eating that because I enjoyed it. Jesus said, let me tell you what I enjoy. Let me tell you what my nourishment is. And by the way, when we have hunger and eat, it satisfies. Jesus said, let me tell you what my satisfaction is. And let me tell you what my refreshment and strength is. Mine is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. Folks, he had a commitment to his Father. And if we're going to have a 2019 that's worth a plug nickel, we're going to have to understand that the kind of commitment that heaven honors is one that starts with a commitment to the Lord God. Amen? Amen. Number two, a commitment to the Holy Scriptures. Folks, you can't separate God from his Word because all you really know about God that's worth anything is what he chose to reveal to you. And the Bible is the revelation of the mind of God to you and me. That's why the most important thing you can do as a believer is read that book and ask God the Holy Spirit to tell you and reveal to you what does that mean in its context so you can learn more about him. Look at a verse of scripture on your screen of 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25. He said, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is like the flower or the bloom of grass. And the grass will wither, and the bloom is going to fall away. But the word of the Lord endures what? Forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Folks, if 2019 is going to be meaningful at all, you're not only going to have a commitment to the Lord God, but you've got to have a commitment to the Holy Scriptures. Folks, what Wayne Robertson tells you will pass away unless I'm telling you what God said. I've never had a thought that was an original thought. Adrian Rogers said one time, if it's true, it ain't new. And if it's new, it ain't true. All truth, as Franklin Graham said to the media recently, finds its source in Jesus Christ. And to know anything about God, God's plan, God's purpose, of which God has a plan and purpose for you, is to be in the Scriptures. We're one day going to come to the end of our journey. And I love this church. Are you listening to me? I love this church. But folks, it is not going to get me 2 points with God, not 2 points. That God said, well, hello, Wayne, you pastored Morningside Baptist Church. Come on in here. Not going to count for nothing. Now, I don't mean that our service to God doesn't count for anything. My service to God counts same thing your service to God counts for. But we get to heaven based on Jesus, not on where we served or what we did. We don't work our way to heaven. And so we each must give ourselves in our basic commitment to the Lord God, but also a commitment to the Holy Scriptures. And I'll make you a promise. If you'll have a commitment to the Holy Scriptures, you will have made a commitment that heaven honors. You and I know that we should be very respectful of the name of God. And no believer that I know who has any understanding of Christianity would ever take God's name in vain on purpose. But folks, there's something that God's elevated above his own name. And the Bible says he's elevated his word above his own name. Now folks, his word is not a negotiable. It's not an elective. We must have his word if we're going to make it as children of God. So that's a commitment that heaven honors. Number three, we are to have a commitment to the Lord's church if we're going to have a commitment that heaven honors. And folks, without a commitment to the Lord's church, where are you going to really ultimately go get the fellowship of God's people? Now, it is true, you can read your Bible on your own. I had a lady tell me one time, she wasn't very happy with me, and she wanted me to know. Interesting to me, she just dropped in one Sunday, and I found out that I had really ruffled her feathers, and I was in my first pastorate, and I thought I could straighten out all the ills of everybody because I was as sincere, probably as ignorant as a shoebox, but I was as sincere as I could be. And when I went to find out what in the world was wrong with her, what could I have done, she's upset that I mentioned and talked about how important it was that you be in the house of God somewhere and have your soul fed, because God had established the church. He established the pastor teacher in the church, and he put people there in order that we might be the body of Christ and grow in grace and do ministry. And she said, I'm going to tell you something. I can stay home and I can read my Bible and obey God as good as you can. Well, I saw she'd done hot to trot, and I was in her house, and I said, well, ma'am, maybe you can, but I just want to ask you this one thing. On some Sunday morning when you're home reading your Bible like the rest of us are at church, and you finally get to Hebrews 10, 23 through 31, I'd like for you to come tell me, how do you carry that out at home when it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is. And I said that, believe it or not, with all the kindness I could muster. Folks, you're not going to make it in any year without the Lord's church. He didn't equip Brother Wayne, and one of the great dangers, you've heard me allude to this before, one of the great dangers for preachers and pastors who get my age is that they see 65 coming and they see retirement coming, and we've not traveled much and we've been called back on vacations many times in all these years for funerals and for other tragedies, and we just need to have some fun for a while. And the next thing you know, you got a guy who was one time faithful, who stood by the stuff, and in retirement his life comes to be worth about a plug nickel to the cause of Christ because he acts like he's graduated on God. Folks, a retired pastor needs the local church as much as somebody that was saved yesterday. God set that up. I didn't set it up. God set it up. And as far as I drift from the church will be ultimately how far I'm drifting from the Lord and how far I'm getting out on my own, because I not only need the preaching of the Word of God, I need the fellowship of God's people more than you can possibly imagine. I need your ministry. I need your prayers. I need your encouragement. We're not getting it from a world system. We get it from each other. And so let me just share some scriptures with you. Ephesians 5:25. Many of you quote this from memory. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the what? Church, and gave himself for what? Folks, he loved his church, and he gave himself for it. And by the way, you say, Pastor, now that's the big universal church that he's talking about. Okay? It has no representation on planet Earth except a local body who've determined to be devoted to the gospel and preach it and make disciples and carry out the ordinances of Lord's Supper and baptism and do it under the leadership of a pastor on a regular basis. There's nothing on the planet that reveals that for which Christ died except a local body. And that's why we have to be a part of the church. Now, notice this out of Acts 20:28. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves, talking really to the elders here, and to all the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own, let's say it together, blood. Folks, he loved his church and he's purchased it with his blood. One other scripture, Matthew 16:18. And I say unto thee, this was Christ talking back to Peter when Peter said, we believe you're Christ, or I believe you're Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not the rock of Peter, but on the foundation of Christ, will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Folks, Jesus is committed to his church. The question this morning is the church committed to Jesus? That's the question. And I'm telling you, in 2019, if you're going to have a commitment that God honors, you're going to have to be committed to the Lord God, committed to the Holy Scriptures, and committed to the Lord's church. But then number four, you have to have a commitment to each other. You have to have a commitment to each other. Let's look at some scriptures. Mark 12, notice your screen. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. If you love God, folks, you got to love each other. And the truth of it is there has to be among the body of Christ a commitment to one another. Out of the Old Testament, Psalm 133, you know it from memory, states, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Somebody that I don't even think was a part of this church saw me out in town the other day, and something was said about being with family, and they came out with this little snide, somewhat sarcastic remark, and they was trying to be humorous, and I understood that they wasn't bitter when they said it. Something about they had seen their relatives during the Christmas holidays and said, we sure do like them when we only get to see them during the Christmas holidays. Well, you've got some people like that in your family. But the truth of the matter is, in the body of Christ, we need each other and we need to dwell together in unity, and we have to be committed to helping one another when we know one another needs help. Sometimes a person will say, I'm sick and needy, but I don't need visitors right now, or I don't need help. folks, don't give them what they don't want to take, but if they can, if we can help, we need to be available. Just to know, let it be known you're available is worth something. One of your greatest ministries can be the ministry of presence. I'm here if you need me. That's a good thing. One other scripture, or one other statement, not scripture. How are we going to treat each other? If we could treat every man like he's our daddy, treat every woman like she's our mother, treat all the little children in the very same way we'd want other people treating our children. Don't badmouth them. Don't do anything to stir them up. Don't do anything to harass them. Remember the kingdom. Jesus said, let the little children come. Folks, maybe the question we ought to ask ourselves when it comes to children, are we the type of person a child wants to be around? Do we treat other men like we would treat our father or an older brother? Do we treat all the women like they're our older sister or like they're our mother? Folks, I'm telling you, if you're going to make it, you got to have a commitment to each other in the body of Christ. Last thing, but not the least thing. If you're going to have a commitment that heaven honors, you'll not only have a commitment to the Lord God, to the Scriptures, to the church, and to each other, you'll have a commitment to souls. Folks, you want to know who the most lost person is in Valdosta today? I don't know his or her name, but I'll tell you this. They are exact replicas of what you and I were before Christ captured us. You see, folks, there's no states of deadness. If a person died 5 minutes ago, they're just as dead as somebody that died 500 years ago. Dead is dead. People without Christ, the Bible says, are dead in their sin. People who need Christ are considered lost. People who are lost need to be saved. People who need to be saved need the gospel. People who need the gospel need somebody in whom the gospel lives to love them, to be available to them, to be real around them, not to preach them to eternity and back, but to say, hey, I'm sorry, you know, you're going through what you are. I've made my share of mistakes. I'm not jumping on you about yours, but I can tell you from the mistakes I made, if you'd be willing to consider so-and-so, I'm just speaking out of one who's made mistakes. I'm not trying to do anything to crowd you. I'm just trying to help you maybe not make some of the same mistakes I made. Commitment to lost souls. Folks, you can't win to Jesus who you don't know. You generally don't lead very many strangers to Jesus. You build witnessing relationships with them. One verse of scripture and we'll be through. Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know what the word faint means? But when he says because they fainted, it means they were distressed, they were weary, they were somewhat harassed. They're just frustrated with life. And so he saw the multitudes and he sees these people, and they haven't made the proper connection with that which matters, and he's moved with compassion. He said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. They don't know. And so this morning on this year 2019, now listen carefully. Please don't let the movement in the aisle get your attention. Give it to me just a moment. Today we've had commitment day, and I'm going to ask you two questions, but I'm interested in the answer to one of them. What kind of commitment did you make today? In the commitment day that this church is having, what kind of commitment did you make? And that's not even the question I'm interested in. Here's my question. My question is, as you look to a new 2019 and you think about a commitment that heaven will honor, are you in your heart, do you have a commitment to the Lord God? Do you have a commitment to the Holy Scriptures? Do you have a commitment to the Lord's church? Do you have a commitment to each other? And do you really care about those who need to be saved? Would you join me as we pray together? Father in heaven, I believe every one of us in this room want 2019 to be a great and wonderful year. Lord, we don't know standing at this point, from 1 year from this date, how many of us may be standing in your presence. But we do know this, whether we're standing still on this side or we're already taken to the eternal side, these are some commitments that you tell us heaven honors. It was heaven's plan to save the lost. It was heaven that planned the church. It was heaven that gave us our brothers and sisters in the faith. It's heaven that's elevated the Holy Scriptures. And it's heaven that's pleased with a commitment to the Lord God. More, Lord, important than what we've done with today's commitment in this local church is what we will do with these basic commitments that heaven will honor if we will but honor those commitments. We bring ourselves before you in this moment to say that we're prone to stray. We're prone to get distracted. There are things that try to claim our attention. And we would ask you today, oh God, to give us a focus. Let this first Sunday of this new calendar year be a brand new start for all who would like for it to be. In the person and power of the Spirit, do a fresh work of grace in the lives of this people. Lord, do a fresh work of grace in my life. Bless our coming days together as we seek to hold high the banner of the cross and bring the proper witness to this community. May we recognize that each of us are a part of that, and may our commitments be something that will be a blessing during this series called Time, and may our commitments be something that heaven will honor for eternity. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the time for our invitation. I invite you to stand. Would you do that?